Welcome to Talking Baseball, Starting Nine Crossover. We got Jared Carabas, Dallin.
Dallin.
Hey, it's been fun.
Dallin.
Great
Dallin.
To see you again.
Dallin Braden.
How's it going? So now am I Dallin boy?
Yeah. Dallin. Hey, I had a speech impediment growing up. Don't make fun of me.
Oh, no, you were the kid I crushed.
Oh, no.
Yes, absolutely.
I was a railroad kid.
Oh no! Ours just completely out of the spectrum.
Yeah, I had to go. They took me. The intro music's still playing, but they took me out of the classroom in first and second grade. I went to a trailer, and they were just like, "Arr!" That's what I did. And I'd go home, and I'd have to hold a spoon on my tongue, and then like fight it back.
They didn't have to do any landscaping in there.
No, okay. It was good. I overcame it.
Yeah, no, you did.
I'm good.
Absolutely. Now he's off his leash, man. Yeah, now he's gone. He's
Dallin the world up now.
Dallin.
Yeah. Did you want to give a shout out to your instructor?
No, but I was there with a bunch of kids that had lisps, and I was like, you guys suck. Like, I'm so much better than you.
My impediment is so much better than your impediment.
Yeah, I was like, that blows.
Oh, dude, what's the water bottle thing you want to do?
You had to empty it. Did you empty it out?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, where's the smelling salt?
Oh, yeah, we'll get those. We got this is a smelling salts and wine podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I'm into that.
Because that's what we need.
These are just, this was something that, like as a pitcher, when you're very bored, which was every day that you're not pitching.
4 out of 5 days.
Sure. You just find little, you find little shit to do. Can I say?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you just take these, well, how many you got in here? I don't want to.
How many you need?
Crazy. Well, no, I mean, you don't need I guess you don't need it. Ass load, really, but no. We would just take. I'll take a couple.
I mean, okay. Is this like a? We'll just take a gravity bong. Meets?
No. It's very mean.
Okay, and,
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. Preserve. So like, you get somebody talking, get them really focused on the conversation, and then you get the guy who has put a couple of these smelling salts into a bottle and let it permeate for a while, and then he comes up behind you, and like a total asshole. After he's shaking this bottle up, he just blows it, comes up underneath you, and then blows it right into your nose, right into your face.
Yeah. You know
do you
want to switch seats, anyone?
No, you're good.
You've got to feel. So it's kind of like that hot foot, but it's like a hot nasal. You know, you're just not exactly sure when or where it's coming from, and then bam.
Jared, how you doing?
I don't take smelling salts too poorly, I feel like. We did the Vibs segment with the bar, lowering the bar,
mm-hmm.
and everyone in the office did smelling salts, and I think I took it pretty good.
Well, like 18.
Yeah. No, he's a psychopath.
Yeah, I've got a bad relationship with smelling salts. I was pitching one day in Texas, and it was balls hot, obviously, and I cracked a smelling salt and shard of glass like right in to my thumb, and I was like, son of a bitch, are you kidding me?
There's
right
glass
now?
And smelling salts.
Yeah, it's like fiberglass or whatever it is in there. And
what
sure
did the
enough,
injury left report
hand?
Say?
Yeah, my left hand, absolutely. And, like, I was bleeding. Had to come out of the game. Because
what was the report? What was the official injury?
Blister.
Nice.
Yeah.
For the smelling salts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trevor Bauer would have stayed in the game.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't feel my thumb. And pretty big deal, you know, for me. Like, his hand was hanging off of his wrist or whatever it was.
Tried to pitch through it.
Because he was trying to calibrate the drones, you know?
Yeah.
It's all that last CC throw after he hurt himself and he threw another.
Dude, I love shit like that because that's a pure example of like you gotta protect the athlete from themselves. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean? Like Bauer's looking down at his hand, like having to shade his eyes from the glisten of the lights bouncing off his bone.
Did
that's
you hear
exposed.
What he wanted to do?
And he's just super the glue the bitch and let's roll.
He wanted to
cut it off.
No, he wanted to cauterize himself.
Okay, perfect.
He told the trainers to do it, and then the trainers said no.
Nah,
so
he,
then he was like,
"That
I'm
sounds
going to
like
do it
an
myself.
Ask." He's like, "Let's do this," knowing they would say no.
Then he wanted to do it himself, like a lunatic.
Yeah, no, that's the that's what you do, man.
I guess so.
That's what
good
you do.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
How many other injuries did you lie about?
I don't know if there's been like fabrications of injuries. Like I never made an injury up, but there's some things like, you know, hey, you've got some leeway. You don't have to be very detailed, you know? Like look, 2009 at the end of the season, I missed some time. In the month of August. And if you go back and look at the injury report. Or
I can do that.
Or as to why.
We can do that.
We
got guys for that.
Just between us girls, there was probably a little more to whatever injury report you're going to end up reading.
Got it.
Okay.
Hashtag jugs, just us girls.
There you go.
And then we'll just make up our own thing.
Yeah.
Jake and I always marvel because we're short, fat, non-athletes.
Cheers.
And
yes, cheers.
Cheers.
Glad you boys can join
us. Thank you for having us.
Crossover Thanks. Season.
Yeah. We actually, those gentlemen walking behind you, they took the shirtless pic of me to bait you guys in.
Yeah. And that was our Said, hey, do you mind taking a weird picture? And done they're and like, done. Okay, cool. And then Jake was here shirtless, and they're like, fuck.
They or someone else, they were like, they asked like about the competitive stuff, and we're like, there's so much room in this market. Like, everyone's more than allies. Like, we're rooting for you dudes, and I think you guys are rooting for us. I don't want to throw that out for you too much, but, like...
I wasn't rooting for you guys at Easton, though. We weren't on the same team.
That's fine. Yeah. And I get that, because that's the good competitive.
I want to win. We were on the team that won. I solved a puzzle for...
We did lose by 1 point.
Well, yeah.
It seemed like a...
The line of the shields are pretty funny. Unbelievable.
Part of my job is keeping him in check. If the other way to spin that is he technically took money away from the other charity.
Yeah.
So he took money away from charity.
Yeah. But I care about kids more than houses burning down.
Okay.
Wow. I'm from California, and I take strong offense to that.
So you hate kids?
No, I'm a... Well, okay. I'm okay with mine for the most part.
Sure.
All right.
I like mine.
You know,
it was 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Pretty messed up about the Easton event.
What?
They split us up on everything.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, you guys were the big fish, so they had to split you guys
out. Yeah, because we got to tell you this, like the starting nine rub is real. Two of us together with anybody on, there's a good chance Jenny Finch gets inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Probably. I think
it's kind of like the Stones in Endgame.
Yes.
Oh. Once Thanos gets them all. I mean,
you've lost. Whew.
So
you're not a Marvel comic movie.
No,
guy?
I have no imagination when it comes to movies.
So like, I just
real
got
life
it.
Or nothing.
These are new references for me.
Great.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're just using them well.
Yes. Right away.
Are you like fully? Are you head
I'm
over
trying,
heels or what?
I'm trying. So Robbie Fox is our resident nerd at Barstool.
Yes.
And I asked him because I watched. You know, we take a lot of flights, and there's only so many movies you can watch. And I was like, all right, I got 3 hours to kill. I guess I'll watch fucking Endgame. I guess it's 3 hours.
Did you watch all the 16 beforehand?
No. So I started backwards. So I was like, all right, I'll watch the Avengers movies. And then I was like, all right, what do I have to watch to like catch up to this point? He's like, here's a list of 16 movies over 72 hours that you can watch to catch up to this.
And
I was
like, aggressive.
Yeah. We have a movie podcast and they made me go watch Thor. And I came back and I was like, guys, this is like really bad.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's one of the best ones. I was like, no, that's like genuinely like a really bad movie.
Which one did they make you watch?
Thor Ragnarok.
That's the one I watched on the flight over here.
And like Robbie wrote a blog, like that's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. I'm like, these guys are fucking weird.
It's like athlete funny.
It's like they just like.
Well, it wasn't trying to be completely serious.
He's got a mental block. He can't get over the fantasy hurdle.
Don't tell me Thor's one of the funniest movies was not even funny.
But I'm with you. I'm with you if you're a more serious. Like, kind of, give me the real shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I have this block against, I hate, don't give me the Netflix, like, don't make me the captain that night, because we will spend all night just searching, because I have this thing where, like, if it came out in, like, 2017, I'm like, fuck, that's way too old.
Yeah.
So much shit has happened since then. Mm-hmm. That is so unrelatable right now.
Especially in the documentary world.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm a big doc guy.
Yeah, huge doc guy.
I mean, if you're going to tell me to watch a documentary from 2015.
Love to doc.
No, pass. Can't do it.
No.
What's your favorite baseball movie? We watched Major League in Phil Hughes' van. Smart. And Major League holds up so well.
Oh, yes.
It does.
Yeah. It's really
funny. It is a transcendent movie. Like, especially when you think about the minor leagues and what's happened, like the attack on the minor league system right now. And just like the whole... Everything that's involved with guys coming out of absolutely nowhere, trying to get to the big leagues, what that lifestyle is like that, like Major League is it resonates.
Yeah, I know when I was playing in the minor leagues, I was like, this lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys know what I'm talking
about.
It's
tough, man.
Oh, what I started with was Jake and I not being athletes, and we always marvel at like I woke up 2 weeks ago with just the stiffest fucking neck and I couldn't turn. And I was like, does this happen to athletes? What do they say? What do they lie about? Or do you just go get massaged out?
Yeah, that's usually
they've got access to some shit.
Yeah.
Like some needles. Some
what are the things? I'm a huge acupuncture guy.
Mm. Really? Huge
acupuncture. You would be.
Oh, yeah.
You give off that vibe.
I got my grandma on that. When your arm falls off, you will try anything.
Yeah. You ever do cupping?
Oh, big time. I've got my own cup set. I've had my own cup set. Like, I've been on that train.
Do you have it here?
No, I do not have it here.
Have you ever cupped someone else?
Yeah, my grandmother, my wife. I've got other buddies that I've cupped.
Why have you never cupped?
Yeah, why don't you cup Jared?
We can cup, we can spoon.
What does cupping do besides make Michael Phelps look like a sickly person in the pool?
So if you think about a sausage, the meat within the sausage.
This is Jake's Monday through Friday.
The meat within the sausage represents your muscle. Okay. The skin outside the sausage would represent what is called myofascia. Okay. And your muscle moves within and underneath that myofascia. At times, that can get bound down and constrict the movement of the muscle. So what cupping does is it helps stimulate blood flow to an area, and it also helps separate the myofascia from that muscle body, and it allows, it promotes healing and it promotes the release. So almost like almost like an acupuncture effect of sorts. Ancient Chinese approach was they use flame. And they put a flame under that cup and then put it out and allow the sucking of the oxygen to do the cupping. And the blood that comes to the surface, like the really affected areas, become like fucking dark purple. That's where you see those like, oh my God, you should probably talk to somebody wounds.
Yeah. You look
like,
bad. Yeah. You lost me at Chinese sausage.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Jared, I got something for you.
Okay.
And this is going to be a compliment.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
I know.
Thank you.
Stop there.
Hot takes. Fucking only. Stop only it. Hot takes. Mm. So Jimmy and I were talking one day, and I think we were on the mics, and I was giving him this like, dude, 10 years is going to be rough. We're going to look like Tenacious D. Like, we're going to have Jack Black, Kyle Gass vibes.
It's a great reference, though. Loud.
Jimmy.
Pick of Destiny is one of the most underrated movies of all time.
Jimmy goes stone face on me, and he goes, bro, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm glowing up.
Yeah, yeah. I'm doing the L-Prez Adderall diet as soon as I get enough money
have to
do
it.
He's like, dude, do you think I'm putting in all this time now to not glow up?
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah. I think you've had a pretty nice glow up.
I'm used to look like a meth addict.
This is good.
Yeah, no, this is where it's at.
Do you have any tips for us when we're approaching that?
Oh, man. Honestly, I don't even know how it happened. I think I just changed.
You moved to New York.
I moved to New York, and I was around people that dress better. So I think, like, the glow. Yeah. It's weird because when I. In like 2013, I dressed like a homeless person, but I was in the best shape of my life. And then I came to New York and I stopped working out entirely. And then I just dressed better. And then everyone's like, oh my God. And I grew my hair out. I grew my hair out and everyone's like, oh my God.
I don't plan on dressing better. I've committed to the Adam Sandler lifestyle. He's my influence in fashion. This is like, I fucking hate this. I have to wear pants right now. Yeah. I put on shorts just to go to Hughes's house. I told my girlfriend, I said, it's basketball shorts and sweatshirts and local t-shirts. Like, we're going to see Adam Sandler in a month, I believe, and I'm going to make sure, like, you're my fashion icon.
Right. Let him know.
Let him know. Yeah. But I just don't want to be, like, a fat slob with a hunchback anymore. That's where I take, like, when Prez was starting Barstool, he always talks about how, you know, he spent fucking 17 hours at a desk, and that's been my life for 2 years. Right. So
he's been hunched over for a long time.
Yeah. So as soon as we get the office.
Maybe try yoga. John Boy Yoga is probably the next thing.
Like, whenever
we would go see you there tomorrow,
we would go for the physicals.
Are you going?
I'll be there.
Content.
It's at 7 a.m.
We're going.
We've been getting up there.
There's no way here.
Someone's going to go. Well,
Dallas will go.
Every doctor that did like the physicals in middle school or high school, when they would come like just do that shit, they'd be like, you're pretty unflexible. And I'm like, I know.
I can't even touch my toes.
Did you not play sports as a child?
I did. I played hockey until I was like, you know, 20 or whatever. And I played baseball until they told me to stop, which was 14.
They tell you or they suggest? Yeah. They're like,
well, they were like, curveballs exist now. Oh. So maybe you should
It's $50 to play on the high school team. Oh, no, we don't want that money. We're good.
Keep that.
We're good. We got some old balls from last year. We'll be able to roll it out.
That's great.
That's
great.
They didn't accept me when we were trying out for JV baseball. This is the first time this will be ever told, and my dad listens to every podcast.
Wow.
I stole my parents' car. I didn't have a license
because
I forgot it was tryouts, and I had my permit, and I was like, oh fuck, tryouts were today.
I'm late.
So I
did you have a nice like look in the mirror at yourself, like this is a do or die moment in my life?
Probably the safest I've ever driven. Well, I drive pretty slow and boring now. But so I got there, but I didn't want to drive with my cleats. So then I showed up to tryouts, and I didn't even bring them. So then I just remembered that. I tried out barefoot. And they were like, don't, you're fucking off the team.
You don't get to show up barefoot.
Okay, Willie made
that. What was I going to do?
That's how Lorenzo Cain made the baseball team. He like showed up in like jeans and tried out.
Shoeless Jimmy O'Brien.
Different talent.
I thought it was going to be a cool nickname.
A little bit.
Yeah,
but I don't think he ever played baseball
before. But I'm guessing the uni probably probably matched up with the skill set is what I'm just throwing that.
I was a decent catcher. I didn't try out for catcher because they had this kid that was like,
well, because you didn't have any fucking shoes on. We
had the catcher in our town who was like, dad made it to AAA and built like a box truck and like
they didn't ask like who's trying out for catcher. They were just like, hey, LeMay, come here. So like
that reminds me of the, like, I remember my sophomore year in junior college, this guy coming to try out, and he shows up in purple windbreakers, like windbreaker pants, a black tank top, and no hat, and his glove, and that's it.
No hat's really good. They cracked us up in major league today.
Ready to roll, right? Yeah. And he tells the coach, I want to try out for pitcher. Oh. And our like the look on our coach's face is just fucking priceless. And he's just like, you can see the wheels spinning. And he's like, all right. He's like, you know, left-handed, what are you featuring? And the guy goes,
what's that mean?
Well, I just have my glove. I just, and
what's your mix?
Right. Then the coach our coach goes, what do you throw? And he goes, like fastballs and curveballs, but mostly just fastballs. And we're like, all right. So he starts playing catch.
Now it's the most anticipated tryout.
Well, our coach, like, you can tell, like, you know, the guy goes to throw a ball one time, you've got a pretty good feel for how the next few throws are going to look. And it took that one throw and we were like, uh-oh, this is not going to be great. So he sends him out to the mound and sends our All-American shortstop, Chase Dennis, out to the fucking batter's box. And this kid, like, kind of to your point, like, it didn't need a catcher. It was like that scene from Field of Dreams. Hey, don't we need a catcher? And Shoeless Joe just is digging in and doesn't even look up. And he's like, not if you get it near the plate, we don't. And that's exactly how that went. Not a single fucking ball made it to the catcher. I think he threw like four or five pitches. Jace hit two of them out and like one off the fence. And we were just like, this is so unfair. Like, if you could ever just light a kid's dream on fire right in front of him.
In real time.
That is exactly what happened. Like, you couldn't draw up those results any better to tell a kid, this ain't for you.
Yeah.
Should we quick commercial do some? I think that leads us into fun baseball.
Also, Dallas has a got one off thing of that. In his hand, so I'm just sitting here scared.
Oh, yeah.
Bitch.
I forgot. Yeah, I'm so dumb. I would be messed up by now.
Well, let's look at me.
I'd be messed up.
He's got the body shielding me off.
Yeah, look at this. Anyway, yeah, we're going to throw it to a break.
We could talk a little baseball stuff.
Did you unleash a little bit?
No. Right.
One.
Just the mirror.
I, like, want to do it. I've done them before. Yeah, but just the fact that I don't have say over when it comes near me is...
It's better to smelling salt.
Well, the idea is you ask that question, right? You have the guy in front, in front of him.
Okay,
he asked the question.
I'll flash a little
and
bit.
You
what I was jumping to, which you mentioned, the excitement of that guy throwing his first pitch to that shortstop. That was obviously, you knew what was coming.
Right.
Baseball ideas, they get thrown a lot. Some fun stuff. I'm thinking, can we just put bullpens behind the dugout, and you don't know who's coming? So, like, pitcher gets pulled from the game, and the crowd's looking around, and you're like, I think I know who's coming. But then someone else comes out, and it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, we thought if they had secret bullpens, it would be pretty – it could cause for some fun drama in games when, like, you don't know.
So, like, they just don't announce. Like, the other team still has the ability to know how. Because now because you're messing with strategy.
The other team and the fans has – like, when the pitching change – everyone's like, fucking, who is it? Even the opposing team. Like, maybe, like, they don't think Chapman's available.
Right.
And then Chapman runs out.
But do they have time to...
Do they have time to make
their adjustment?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so the anticipation is fleeting, but it's there.
Yeah.
Okay.
But secret bullpens, we were like, that could be fun for a second.
Well, I think I like the idea a little better if you're not able to adjust as an opponent. Mm-hmm. That really throws like
so you like that more.
Yeah, well, because
okay, well,
I mean,
I was only carrying that because I thought you wanted to hear that answer. We like, you can't adjust.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah,
well, that's what would make it fun.
Yeah,
because like that's say
fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, okay, shit.
You think Chapman's coming in and then like Joe Smith comes out.
Right,
it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
okay,
that's the idea of, you know, you sending the decoy up on deck. This is who I've got ready for you.
Or you
got the decoy down in the bullpen.
Or like this, like Soto's up in the playoffs and it's the fourth inning or something, but there's men on and he's walking up to the up to the mound, and then or in the wild card game or whatever fuck you want to have it. And then all of a sudden, Hader comes out in the fourth for the matchup. And you're like, whoa, okay, this is it. That'd be cool.
Yeah, and the fact that they can't, I mean, not that I don't think Juan Soto leaves the ballgame at that time, but that's, like, you're talking about a very
But it's crucial, a whole different mindset.
Oh, absolutely, sure. Like,
I guess you're one better, though.
Turned it up.
What do you got?
Wrestling entrance ramps.
So, yeah. Okay.
Count them down like the Royal Rumble.
I still like the, like, when Rodney was coming down in the golf cart in the playoffs.
Golf cart was great. I love a good bullpen cart, but if you have a Titantron with a wrestling entrance ramp, and then you have the crowd counting down from, say, 10 or maybe 5, then you have a surprise entry. It goes 3, 2, 1.
And their song comes
on.
And
then
their
song plays. The music comes on first. And then,
and then you're like, oh, shit. By the way, I hate Aroldis Chapman. He has the most electric entrance of any major league reliever right now.
Why do you hate him? Because he's got skinny legs and big arms?
I don't know.
I think he did some things.
Oh, is the bad guy stuff?
Yeah.
Bad guy stuff.
Yeah. Off the field, bad guy stuff.
Robles has a pretty...
That one's great, too.
Has a pretty...
Oh, yeah.
That one's great, but that they need to cut the lights.
So hot right now.
Yeah.
If they're gonna do it, then they got to do it.
No, so, you are right, though. Like, if every reliever had that, like Chase and Shreve comes in, it's like a little bit of chicken fried. Yeah. Like, all right.
They try. I think for the most part, they try. I think teams try. Because we see, like, as I travel around, I see teams that really do that. I mean, Anaheim being an example. I know... At home, the Oakland A's, they do shit like that. For
were you around the A's with Careless Whisper with Reddick?
Oh yeah,
that was pretty cool.
Sure. That was great.
That was fun.
Yeah,
he went through a phase with like different wrestling entrance themes as well.
Yeah, he was a big. I mean, obviously he's a huge wrestling fan.
He is.
Yeah. So he played that up. He does a great job with bringing that side of his personality into the game. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. Him and I were almost like jockeying. For the first time that the whole pie thing started in Oakland, like him and I were there. He hit him with, I forget who it was, but he hit him with the pie. I hit him with the Gatorade, and that was just a thing. Like he put on the Spider-Man mask, and it was a go time.
I wish that more baseball players embraced the pump-up song versus the relax song.
I would just do church bells. I think it'd be weird. People would be like,
what the hell's that? Yeah. But a lot of guys will come up to like country.
And then I'd cross myself 7 times.
Yes.
Just people.
I asked Brock Holt. Maybe. I was like, your name is Brock. You need to come out to Brock Lesnar's entrance theme. And he's like, I like country music. It makes me relax at the point.
Remember when Brock had that terrible haircut?
Actually, do you know why he cut his hair?
Because his kid was like, Dad, your hair sucks.
No, he went to visit a hospital. And someone, one of the kids that he was visiting in the hospital was mistaking him for like a woman.
Yeah, he looked like an Oompa Loompa. It was a weird haircut. Like, how have you done?
They're like, are you a girl?
Speaking of, do you regret not having like this get up on the mound?
No, not at all.
You wouldn't have wanted it?
No.
Why?
I don't think so.
The intimidation factor would have
been
much
better. Yeah, like you look at pictures of you now with the goatee, and I'm like, damn, that guy is lame compared to this guy.
No, the radar gun does not lie. Like just because I have the beard doesn't make the 86 any harder. It doesn't make a 96. If it did, trust me, I'd have been wearing this motherfucker
a long
time ago.
It was a whippy 86.
It was confident, is what I say. Very confident. The most confident 86 in the league. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, a lot of people, it's funny you say that, because a lot of people have been like, man, like seeing this side of you. Well, I'll tell you this story. It was like throwback day. We're wearing our 70s jerseys, I think, and I have my afro picked out. I'm actually in the clubhouse's or the clubby's office, and I'm heading out. Billy Bean walks into the office, and he's like, oh, D, the fro picked out. Love it. And so I'm like, yeah, good shit. And I roll down. I'm on the bullpen bag, so I've got to get down there early. So I've packed the snack bag, take the bullpen bag down, and, like, I've got my hair picked out, my hat just fucking, you know, in my back pocket. Hair is banging. People loving it. And I get a phone call. And just listen to how this sounds. I get a phone call down in the bullpen on the bullpen phone before the national anthem from our manager, Bob Guerin at the time. And the phone rings. The bullpen coach just looks at me, like, hands me the phone. He's like, hey, it's for you. And I'm like,
what? That's a bad sign.
No, this isn't for me. This isn't good. This is not good at all. And he goes, hey, did you put that fucking hat on your head if you want to see the mound today? Sound good? And I was like, sounds great. But I was so pissed because I was like, damn, the GM just
Bean liked it.
Billy loved it.
We just saw Billy earlier.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, could you go talk to Billy real quick?
Like, let's go.
I'll put the hat on, but you just check with Billy.
I felt like the little kid who's like, you know, arguing with his parents, like, but dad said it was fine. Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Not happy about it.
Coco used to rock that.
Oh, yeah.
Better than anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was so like, how does the hat work? I never get that. Never had an afro.
Fall off all the time.
Yeah.
Coco was amazing.
They used to knock their hats off on purpose back in the day.
Cool.
They're like, hey, who did that? Willie Mays.
Well, defense?
Yeah, in Ken Burns' documentary. He used to, if he was running for a ball, he would throw his hat because then the crowd would be like, oh, he was really running.
Yeah.
It was like just catering to the dumbest people for entertainment.
Hey.
That's my game.
That's exactly. He was a showman. He knew it.
That was DRS before.
But
we
now
had
we'd
DRS.
Have replay and be like, he did that on purpose. Well, exactly. Back then they were like, well, who knows?
Well, that's why I mentioned Bryce Harper's name, because when he first got into the league, right, and he's rounding first and that helmet's jostling and he just fucking heaves it, you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool because you're like,
oh yeah.
He's going for three.
Yeah. Like,
that helmet ain't coming off if he's pulling up in second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nunez is the biggest helmet fall-off guy. You guys got to experience that as well.
Hanley as well.
Is he?
A Hanley, every time that he swung, his helmet would fall off.
And a Bartolo swing.
Yeah. But he'd catch it.
Yeah.
Well, I think Nunez just wore the wrong size helmet. Like, he had a smaller head than Jake, I think.
Yeah. Well, Jake's he just couldn't stand
king
up.
King of small heads.
Okay. Period.
You know what they say.
Small heads equal small brain.
Something like that.
Yeah,
something like that.
So your headphones are small?
Both of them. What are we talking about?
I don't know. I had a question and I forget now.
What do you guys go to?
I remember my question.
Okay. It's probably better than mine, dude.
Yeah, we were talking. You want it?
No, I'm good. It probably is.
We were talking new rules. Plouffe was on with us and we were saying, Plouffe also saw the picture of Jake with the shirt off.
I saw that.
He's part of John Boy Media now and he was like, yeah.
Trevor was shook.
No, he texted us. He was like,
did you get him?
No, I didn't get him.
Fuck.
Yes. But I kind of want it, though, because I want
to
wake up.
Close your eyes. Close your eyes and count to five.
That's going to come on two, and I know it's I ain't dumb, Dallas.
Again, I'm so happy.
I want to just, can I do it? Can I do it myself? All right.
He's going to get me a little bit, too. You want a little bit?
Got it. Great. Yeah, that's good.
Tip
I like
the
it.
Iceberg. Producer so Plouffe, Bill?
So Plouffe, not a fan of Jake shirtless, but Plouffe.
Yeah, there you go. You gotta get that squeeze in there.
Yeah.
Trevor again was so modest to tell us that he was known as the hot wife guy in baseball. Yes, again, I just thank him for opening up on that.
Yeah. Plouffe, we were talking new rules.
Producer Bill just got it.
It's good stuff.
We're talking new rules with Plouffe, and I was shocked to see how in he was on this, but mercy rule. And we were saying that it can be exciting. So I want to get your guys' opinion on this. Because right away, I'm like, nah, that sucks. You have to finish games. But if after the seventh inning, there's like a 10-run rule, it would create excitement if like you're up 8-0 and 2 runs ends the game. And now you get walk-offs in a blowout. And if you're losing, you're not going to be that mad. You're like, well, we're fucking losing anyway. And if you're winning, you leave super happy because you got to basically see a walk-off. It has to be after the seventh, a certain amount of runs. And then if you're the winning team or the losing team and it happens, you offer like a discounted ticket later to kind of like say, hey, you get more innings though.
Sure, the next game or the next ticket that you purchase to a game would be 20%.
20% off. What do you guys think?
I would say that like those garbage time innings are still useful for the team that's getting their ass whooped.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And the first thing that I always think about, the reason I always balk or take pause is because you have to think about the way that the record books will be affected or how that's going to be viewed. And maybe that's selfish because I'm a purist at heart and I love that
that's a
the
good
numbers
spin on
and
it.
The records have always meant something for a reason because we've always played this game within a certain parameter, right? And so we've got a feel for why 60 homers was ridiculous, why 61 was outstanding, why 70 and 73 were what they were, and you understand why that means what it means. And the numbers, the records reflect those still to this day, right?
Yeah, but you can have a fucking 8-inning pitch complete game shutout if it starts raining, or a 6-inning, so it still goes in the book. So there are some weird things.
And, and there's differentiation to that, though, right? Like, that is acknowledged by a, like, there's a statistical acknowledgement. 7 innings, yes, this is a no-hitter, but it was a rain-shortened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the first place I always start, but from there, like, let's say all things being equal, everybody's totally cool with how that rolls. I love that idea.
Yeah,
I mean, totally okay.
So many position players are pitching now because they don't want to kill their bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And
they set a record in 2019.
Yeah,
I think it's going to position. It'll break break next year. I think it's just like
and
we're getting it in tie games.
And think about the way, like, think about how you feel as a position player that is maybe two or three times in a season been the guy that's tabbed for that duty. Like it or not, however you want to view it, ultimately the decision has been made because you are the most expendable.
Yeah.
Mike Ford, you're coming out for a second inning.
Unless you're Russell Martin and you just got 0.0 ERA.
Pablo Sandoval probably logged more innings than Dylan Betances last year.
I don't know if that's true.
Russell Martin, I think so.
Dylan pitched one inning.
Yeah, well, so there you go.
Yeah. Russell Martin pitched four.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. What's but Dylan's a sad case, so say sorry a little bit.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I've already petitioned for Dylan Betances in Boston, so.
Well, then you will learn that he hits people all the time. He's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's true.
That was our first little back and forth on Twitter in 2017.
His he good tweeted is so
you?
Good.
No,
his
me and you. You like, had no idea who I was.
Oh. Oh, yes, I do recall. That was
the Tigers brawl.
Yes.
Yeah. Dylan couldn't hit someone in the head on purpose if he tried.
Yeah.
What do you guys, like, what's my thing I push is I want every team to play every team. I know you mentioned Pierce a little bit. I know he was against that. He's coming around. I like it for marketing reasons. Like, Pujols went back to St. Louis for the first time in 8 years this year.
Right.
And, like, I don't know. The Yankees, I'm in Denver. I'm moving in a little bit. But I think Judge, I don't think he played the last time he was there. Like, if you were a Yankees fan in Denver, you couldn't see Aaron Judge play live in, like, a 6 year time period or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. There's some pure stuff there. And part of the reason I brought up, we all kind of broed out at the Easton event, which was a good time. And when we started talking sports media stuff, dude, you were so focused and driven. I was like, not booked by its cover stuff, but like you went in, like you were baseball media. You had your ideas locked up. So I don't know on just kind of the game. We obviously all have our thoughts on what the game needs to do to grow it the right way, and I think what we're doing on our podcast is part of that. But
better
like
walk up songs.
What do you guys get passionate about doing in WWE interests count? Mm-hmm. But like, what do you got?
Like just as, like outside of what we do?
Yeah, I mean just any of it. Like I mean, commissioner for a day type stuff.
Yeah, you know it's funny. I think the biggest thing that baseball can continue to do is allow the fans to show themselves, and that means the people that want to. Again, and we had this conversation that people want to post things that they want to post, the people that want to just continue to drive. And that's how you have to look at it, is it's somebody driving traffic to your brand. So if you are in the commissioner's office and you're okay with the money that you're making right now, and you're okay with the money that the sport is bringing in right now, at some point in time, you have to step back and say, you know what? Could we allow some free labor? Are we about that? Yeah. I feel like we've got some friends in that NCAA office, and they're okay with the whole free labor thing. And I feel like we've got a pretty good idea of how we've handled the minor league situation, that whole pay scale thing since we started that. So I think we're okay with free labor. Why are we not okay with the people who are paying for subscriptions on their MLB TV packages and still bitching and complaining because they've got blackouts that they're dealing with for whatever reason? I can't tell you. So we're still not giving them all of the product that they're paying for, and we're still not going to let them promote the game to their furthest extent possible. So, like, if you say that out loud and stop this podcast and rewind everything I just said, you're going to go, what the fuck are they doing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the question I have every single day, is if you have a fan base that loves and is passionate about their game, you are actively swinging and missing by keeping these people at bay from promoting your game.
Yeah, it's pretty smart. I think step one is explaining to the guys at Major League Baseball like what the internet is. They still need like a what is this?
It's a conveyor belt though. Like I feel like some of the really out of touch people are being phased out to now like the somewhat.
Yeah, well, YouTube like changed it in 2017. Like I know that there's a heart like. All my videos would have been, and you know this because mm-hmm. It was happening to you. Would have been like I would have been kicked off YouTube, kicked off Twitter. So when I started in 17. They reached out and they're like, hey, we're not going to like suspend you or ban you, like keep making the videos. But if our algorithm picks it up, we take the money. And I was like, all right. They're like, but some will slip through the cracks. So do it. And that was the best advice I ever got because some slip through the cracks. Now we have a real company and all that stuff. And it's like, cool.
Did they say anything about Twitter?
Yeah, they said the same thing.
So like if there's no longer a threat of like losing your Twitter account if you post MLB.
Well, here's the dirty secret. They don't want people to know this. They want people to think they're still the Gestapo.
Yeah.
So like I'm now like going against their wishes because they're like, hey, you're cool, but like don't let everyone know you're allowed to do this. Mm-hmm. But They just are dumb. So thanks for being nice to me.
It's so ridiculous because, like, again, we were trying to make, like, a business, lifestyle, whatever out of this. And, like, there was a doomsday 6 months where it's like, if his Twitter gets down, like, I don't know, he's going to hop on mine and it's like Brucey coming in The Replacements movies. Like, yeah. I'm about to get well, it ain't going to look good.
I mean, think about the environment we are physically in right now and how the physical setup occurs. Who's paid the most is given and granted the most access, the first access, and at times the only access, right? Yeah. So the almighty dollar becomes proprietary. We know that. However, you're going to whatever power position you're in, if your dollars are greener, then you get that access. So with that being understood, allowing people what they don't want is, and this is what I have felt and I have acknowledged, I have seen, they don't want the big news, the big movement, that big splash to come from an area that they can't make a dollar on, or they can't, like, if they can't run their ad right before this news comes out on their platform, why have they spent the money they've spent to set up their stage at the funnel, right? Like, literally a bottleneck, you know what I mean? Like, and that's how things are set up.
Yeah. Like, you could tell me right now that you can post MLB videos on Twitter and you can't get in trouble for it, and I still wouldn't do it because I'm so gun shy.
Yeah, after. You've been institutionalized.
Yeah, my MySpace page was taken down.
Badass.
And, like, that's all I had. It was like 150,000 people on it.
Why don't you make that your Twitter bio? MLB stole my MySpace
page. They did. And there is nothing worse than, like, logging into an account that you've, like, built up to this big platform, and then it's like, hey, you can't. Like, nope, sorry, this account actually doesn't exist anymore. Like, it's that's ours. The worst fucking feeling. Like, if that ever happened to my Twitter, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know what I'd do. I wouldn't have anything. I guess I would just fucking...
I wouldn't have anything. Yeah. I wouldn't. Yeah. I would be looking for a new co-host. Like, can anybody...
Yeah, yeah. This guy's got no value to me now.
Yeah. Yeah. He has no value to himself, clearly. I'd be fucking lost trying to help him.
I mean, in this job, yes. Like, your social media accounts are currency. And if you don't have... I mean, if I had 850 followers, then it's like, all right, well, what the fuck? Like, why would we even do business with this guy?
Yeah, and here's why I say, like, they need the internet explained to them, especially YouTube. Because they don't understand that. So, like, their algorithm claims are the videos we make, which are fair use. We're, like, talking with lawyers, and they're like, yeah, those shouldn't get claimed. Like, you're talking over them. You edit them up. It's completely different than the broadcast. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's do that then. But don't charge me a lot. what MLB doesn't get is when they claim the videos, since YouTube isn't going to, like, get that as much money as if they're unclaimed, YouTube doesn't give the notification to anyone that has notifications on for our YouTube channel. They don't get featured on, like, the featured page or like the for you page. And that's literally how you grow interest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So every time they claim it, they get all the money, but they're getting less money than they can. So just partner with us, MLB. There's my pitch.
Done.
Take the same amount of money, but don't claim it, and we'll just have a deal. And then my lawyer's going to say, you shouldn't have said that. 50-50.
Hi, I'm his lawyer.
Right. Yeah, exactly. No. How's it going? You can reach me at Dallas Bridge.
Yeah. They're so, like, unreachable, too. Like, I feel like there were some meetings with them that took place, and we tried to, like, explain this concept to them, and it just, I mean, they were just blank stares.
Yeah, it's tough. And I think, but I think what eventually will happen, and I can speak from this just understanding what guys are willing to do, want to do, interested in doing with a quote-unquote mainstream media outlet as opposed to an outlet like John Boy Media, an outlet like Barstool Sports, where they know, like, there's already a degree of I can be myself that doesn't necessarily open itself up or lend itself to the more buttoned-up approach and questions that you're going to get. Because the questions alone kind of force the athlete into a direction, right?
Yeah. And you guys are the same. I know, like, Barstool gets a bad rap because of some stuff from the past, but it's not you two.
Right.
And you guys aren't trying to go out and ruin any MLB player or coach or anyone in the game's, like, career or make them look bad. And the same with us. We're like, we're silly, and you're not, like, we're never going to, like, work for you because you can then limit us. And we don't want to say anything bad, but right. you're not going to be able to limit us. And you guys are the same way. And but they're just scared. Like, if we can't control what they say, well, they might say bad things.
Mm. Yeah, and that's why I think we've been able to kind of just the proof is in the pudding kind of approach. Yeah. Like you know every opportunity that I think we've been given, or every opportunity, frankly, in my opinion, that we've earned, and like not to get sentimental, but I hope you guys take stock of this. Like, keep those placards from this winter meeting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And looking down and seeing
meeting, I kept the soap bottle in the bathroom. My girlfriend's like, I don't want this in the apartment. I'm like, it was my first winter meetings and I stole this from the bathroom. So just put it somewhere.
Right. So, like, but just
it's
like,
literally in like the garbage.
Just knowing what it means to Barstool, like for us.
And I, not to up the ante from Jimmy's soap thing, but dude, you on the duck boats, like that's fucking like, and we're so friendly with, we're, Old media, that sounds rude, but like traditional media, they've
been,
99% of the people have been awesome to us.
Yes Network, I'd say 100%.
Oh, Yes Network, I mean, I'm everyone. I mean, there's like a half an outlier.
Everyone's been really nice to us, and that's why there's so many people that still like that get it and understand what we're saying. They just don't have the power to do it. And then like even we're here because someone within MLB understands and they've worked with us and they got us here. So there are like some moves. So I don't want to like completely shit on everyone.
How many people have told you like they were like proud of you and stuff, like you ended up on the duck boat, and like that's like, and they love to see you up there having a beer. And that's a good thing, and that's the difference between traditional media now and stuff. And I get that, like, you know, Brian Hoke, who we love, who covers the Yankees, like he can't be yammed on the parade next year, which we can talk about. Right. But like we could, and like people would love that shit. Right. You know?
It kind of started with Dallas in 2018. We went out, first it was like an April series where the Red Sox got no hit. It's okay.
Sean and I.
I was there. I cursed them.
Did you?
Yeah. I posted a video in a suite and I said, I cursed the Red Sox today. And then they got no hit, and people were like, well, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Because then I was like, great, I did it. Because you guys were like 17-2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they started off pretty good that year.
And that was like,
not a bad ending either.
That was pretty decent.
I know that the first hit has to be a sure thing, but like that first hit was
They didn't get any that day.
I mean, the last out was Hanley, and it was the hardest hit ball of the game. It was like 116 off the bat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something crazy like that.
Good location, though, on the pitch.
Yeah.
Put it right there.
Yeah, but teams in Major League Baseball, they kind of all have their own set of rules in terms of like
the Diamondbacks follow me and like ask me for a breakdown.
Yeah, I mean it's literally, you know, every team operates differently.
And that's what you'll find out.
Yeah, and the Red Sox were like, "Nah, we don't credential bloggers." And I was like, "Okay." I mean,
what's that even mean?
That's what I said.
People
I was
call
like,
us that. I'm like, I don't write. Ever. So
And then like I get the same thing because obviously we're partners and so people just automatically think like, oh, so you're a blogger. I'm like,
what is a blog?
I don't fucking know what
we're Yankees bloggers, but I don't write.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm illiterate.
It was born bloody and illiterate.
Yeah. I mean it happens. I can't read that well.
Thank you for laughing at that.
But the whole thing about like different teams that operate that way, it's like it's weird how there's not a universal blanket in terms of how teams perceive like who can get in, who can't get in.
It's probably good for us because I think the teams that let us in are the rarer breed, right? Or are we just Yankees? The Yankees are so.
Yankees won't let us in ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all high and mighty.
We're working on it. Like Cashman likes me.
Yeah.
Mentioned my name on the radio today publicly, and people were shocked, and it was like, but I know that because I know he listens because he told me, but that was all private, and I'm not gonna be like, Cashman listens, but then he said it publicly, and then the PR guy's like, yeah, but you understand why we can't let you do stuff, and I'm like, no, I don't. I genuinely don't understand.
Well, it's because I mean it's all about
controlling perception. The narrative.
Well, it's all about exactly. It's all and if there's one group that is affecting the potential, like the outlook or the perception of an entire organization, because now, like, oh my God, this organization does business with, is in bed with, like, and it's like, no, that they just have an idea of how they want to allow their product to continue to expand and how they want to reach their fans.
Yeah.
It's not a negative thing.
Yeah. Let's go. I'm going to take another fake break for us, and then we're going to talk actual baseball.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like teams and players and shit.
Love that.
Quick hitter.
All right, Cole going to the Yankees, Jared?
Yeah, I've already accepted it. It's 100% guarantee. There's a 0% chance he signs anywhere else. So,
How much percent of that is you psyching yourself out and hoping Billy Epler hangs it out?
He's doing the same thing when up until 2 weeks ago, I was like, 0% chance Cole comes here. Yeah. Like, get ready for it. Just prepare for it. And you're doing the same exact thing.
No, he's going.
No, but, we talked to a lot of people, and we talked to Passan. We talked to Rosenthal. We talked to some other people within the Yankees, and they were all so cocky yesterday. They're so confident. Like, it's going to get announced today or tomorrow. And then today...
Not as
complete
cocky.
Opposite vibe.
I feel like there was more action.
Something
yesterday.
Happened.
The Angels made that trade to free up $12 million, which
to get David Price. Yeah,
I don't know.
Could be.
So like now it's like we were talking to them. They were like, I don't know, that more money to Cole and stuff. But
I don't know. I feel like it's just I've already accepted he's going to the Yankees because the Yankees right now
they need him.
Yes, yeah. They're in a position now where if they get Gerrit Cole, there is not a team in Major League Baseball that. Should be able to stop them. I mean, you still have to play the games. You still have to see what happens. But if you go and get Gerrit Cole right now, what team on paper can stop the Yankees?
The part that I brainwashed myself, but the part that's not helping me was I did this Yankees thing last year. I was like, how often do free agents like Machado and Harper hit free agency? The Yankees have to hit one of them.
You didn't talk like that.
I looked like a cockbag. Still do. But no, I think like the Gerrit Cole thing, like you're saying, I mean, not only is, I mean, Gerrit Cole is the number one right now in baseball, but like, dude, Seve, Tanaka, and Paxton as a 2-3-4, like that's silly. Mm-hmm. And that's, we haven't even talked about the freaking lineup that the Twins nudged out by one homer, but it just makes someone, the hole on the team on the Yankees internet right now is first base. We're like, Voit's been a stud. Ford knocked it around. Like we could figure it out.
Voit had a chance to be an all-star this year.
Yeah, should have been.
Vogelback had it to get
in. I posed this question to Jared. I said, out of some of the teams that are involved in these talks, I've said, are there any teams that you think could benefit more from landing a or even just attacking a Rendon/JD/ Ryu combination, Mad Bum combination. So bring in one of those two lefties, bring in one of those two hot corners, and try to go after both of those as opposed to just trying to shore up a Gerrit Cole. Which other teams are in that position? And it feels like the Yankees, to Jared's point that we were talking about, are the only club that are just like, Gerrit Cole.
That's all. The Angels actually should, like, it might benefit them, and Angels fans would be mad about it. It might benefit them to miss out on Cole and then use that money
and split it in half and
get Ryu and Bum.
Who's their second best player?
And I've said this,
Ohtani?
Yeah, Ohtani.
Okay, third best, because I did leave out Shohei.
Right, Upton?
Yeah, he's quietly good.
Yeah, he had a rough last year.
Yeah.
I mean, Tommy La Stella's up there, and, like, don't get me wrong. Nice dude, good paisan.
Andrelton Simmons, big war guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
David Fletcher. David Fletcher's game.
Think about what you're saying, David Fletcher. Like,
yeah, but we're talking about
Look at his numbers. He's a nice ball player.
Jake, look at his numbers.
He's a nice ball player. What's the body of work? If David Fletcher's hitting 240 next year, are we shocked?
That ain't happening. Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Because he ain't hitting 240.
Then I'll give him some love. You're an AL West guy.
So that's part of why I have – it's kind of why I brought that conversation up not only did I play in the AL West, that's the only place I have, but that's what I pay attention to closely. So I've seen the Angels struggles for quite some time.
Yeah.
And it's almost selfish in me wanting the Angel fan base – to be able to kind of turn the page and put an era of just horrendous luck, timing, just like, can we put that in the fucking rear view and get back to Halo baseball? Because I feel like that could really help the game as well. People always want to talk about the Yankees and the Red Sox and how good is it for them to be really good, or how good is it for baseball for them to be. It's fucking great. It's great. There's no denying that it's great. But I also think that when you start to get some powerhouses and some strength going, especially in the day of social media out here on the West Coast, that helps a lot too.
My kid's going to go on Baseball Reference and say,
your kid.
Why? Yeah, I'll be dead. Yeah. He's going to say, hey, or she.
Yes.
She'll be in a Baseball Reference too. Trout and Pujols were on the same team for a decade and didn't get to the playoffs?
Mm. Your daughter's going to hate baseball despite you, just to let you know.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, that's
yeah, but that, I mean, and
hey, Dallas, I have a contentious conversation to have with you.
What do you got?
I don't know if you're allowed to have this. It's about the A's.
Okay.
I lived in the Bay Area for 7 years or so.
Sure.
A lot of my good friends are A's fans, and I feel like I don't hate. I say that word loosely. I get mad at the A's because I feel like I'm protecting my A's fans' friends because I think the organization treats their fans so rudely. And I think now that they're the only team left in Oakland, they're going to be a little better. But they can spend money, and they're not a poor franchise. They can. They just have told this narrative, we're a small market team. We can't spend money. And the fans buy into it. I'm like, you know you're being lied to. You have one of the richest owners. You, this is not like, don't just fall for this. Like, sure. Oh, you know, well, we trade our guys. And it's like, you're being fed bullshit. You guys can. You have the fans. The Bay Area sports fans are real.
They're awesome.
Like, they're big. And when they have playoff games, it's loud there and it's fun. And like someone, Baseball Brit was like, that was my favorite place because it felt like, you know, Dominican baseball. It's like vibrant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I get mad when like the A's are like, well, my friends are like, we're a small market. I'm like, you're not. Wake up.
Well, I think there's a difference between being a small market and then having an ownership with money. I think those are two very different things. The market and your ability to drum up the attention and who's listening to, who's watching, who's clicking on, that body, that demo, that is not as great as you might think it is when you say the word Bay Area. It's just not a New York. It's not a Boston. It's not one of those types of markets. It's not. That being said, I think what you have to look at is, and Oakland falls into this category, but Oakland's not the only club. If the ownership is making money, running their business the way they are, regardless of it being baseball or a Tiddlywinks production company, if you're making money and you're just not pleasing everybody, but the cash flow is what it is, you're okay with it. One thing I always bring up to people is the revenue share, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oakland A's were on that list. Oakland A's are now off that list. That's going away. They're not going to have that. So it's just another push in the shit or get off the pot direction that Major League Baseball is kind of forcing some of these smaller market teams into. You have to show your fans and the game that the money that we're giving back to you is going towards the product.
Yeah.
The ownership and the new regime for Oakland, I'll say this, has done that much. Because if you've been to the game, which the Baseball Brit has, he saw the treehouse firsthand. He's seen some of these new amenities that have popped up. I mean, the ticket offering.
The whole food carts and shit. That's pretty cool outside.
It's awesome. And the whole like season tickets for an Oakland A's fan no longer exists. You want to come to the ballpark? We've got a plan for you that can give you full access to each and every home game that is under $50. And if you and the family want to go, we'll throw some names on your pass list. For $100, they get everything that you get too. Like they own the fucking pass. Like they own the pass list. So that's actually a case study in the Ivy Leagues right now. People are like really focused on how the A's have been able to really flip the whole season ticket thing on its head. So they've done a great job, this new regime. And I'll say this much for the fans that are going to listen to Oakland A's fans. Right now, the A's are as far along in the process of giving their fans a new ballpark, a much deserved.
They're trying so hard.
Than they have ever been. And you heard ownership talk about it last year at FanFest. You heard the front office talk about it at FanFest. They're tired of not being able to retain and / acquire talent to continue to try to get the organization back to prominence. They're tired of it.
Well, what I always say is that any given night, any baseball stadium, like when the Yankees sell out, when Fenway sells out, 50% of those fans are casual fans.
Oh, yes.
You need the tourist who's like, this is a site, and no one goes to Oakland and looks up like top places for tourists. Mm-hmm. Like, let's go to the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. It's only diehards that go. Because the place is a shithole. And they used to throw toilet paper off the third deck, like, every inning. They would run into the bathroom, steal a roll of toilet paper, run up to the third deck, which is closed off so they can fake sell out, and then just throw it. And I was like, this is the Coliseum.
Yes, it's its own character. And you can ask a lot of players, though. That's a place you do not want to be in October.
It's loud.
Full drums banging. Just not a place
raised it pretty well.
One game series.
I mean, they didn't even have the crowd didn't even have a chance to get into that.
Really
game.
Didn't. Yeah. Truly didn't. No. And that was unfortunate.
It really was.
It was really unfortunate.
It was hard to watch.
I've said that if they get that new stadium, like when they were saying East Jekyll and Square, I was like, oh yeah, fucking do that. You'll have the casual fans. You'll pack it up. People will get into it. It'll be a place to go in Oakland, which will bring in more money. And the Warriors and the Raiders leaving helps the Oakland A's so much.
Dude.
But do that. And I was like, they'll be good. If they do that and they just like extend some people and like actually fix the hot dogs, they can be good.
And that place is growing downtown, the place that, that the ballpark is probably going to be dropped in. And my wife and I have a place there. That's where I live during the season. It's grown. It's fucking incredible. And you can, the energy and the excitement about it is palpable. That's what's really cool is for the first time in a long time, I think everybody in that city or around the city has their ear to the street for one reason or another, thinking about this ballpark and where's this thing going.
Are you living Bay Area full time? I thought you were down here.
No, I am. Yeah, I'm here full time. We got a place up there for when the season starts. Okay.
I was living more Pleasanton. Familiar?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
for sure. Stockton. We, familiar?
Stockton.
Stockton.
Learn about it.
Oh, well.
No, you don't want to learn about it.
My sister went to Pacific.
Oh, there you go. I can throw a baseball to the UOP.
Horse.
Yeah, for sure.
Swear?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. You can throw a baseball UOP?
Yeah, from my house.
Yeah.
We gave him a little A's form. Jimmy let him into it.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I have a question. I'll lead you into this.
Okay.
And this is a genuine question. I want your genuine answer.
Sure.
Will the Red Sox, are they trying to rebuild or are they trying to be competitive next year?
Both.
Which is impossible.
It's tough.
That's like the Seattle Mariners tried to do that for 5 years and didn't work.
Wow. Yeah. They're trying to shed payroll. And I think that the most likely outcome will be trading David Price.
But then you have no rotation.
Yeah. No, that's a problem.
Yeah. they say you need 7 going into a season. You guys would have 2.
It's going to be interesting to see how they intend to divvy up those innings, because Price, when he's healthy, is one of the biggest innings eaters in the game.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to trade Mookie.
They can't. They're not going to get a package for
Mookie.
It's
not even that. So obviously the logic is
if that happens, is it fair to say that that's going to tell you what direction they're
going? You're punting. If you trade Mookie Betts, you're punting on 2020.
I think Price is like
that simple.
I think Price is 80% punt.
No. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
I don't think like it, because shedding the payroll is to probably set you up for some future moves, and it's to stay under that net. Under
I mean, they just, it's if you go over for X amount of years, the penalties keep getting stiffer and stiffer. I think if you trade David Price, you're not punting on 2020. If you trade Mookie Betts, you're punting on 2020, because you can't, I mean, you can get a starting pitcher. You might have to split it up between 3 different guys, but you can get like a mid 3 ERA.
But isn't that quite the shift?
It's kind of hard.
Still have
there's
Chris
like,
Sale.
There's like 15 of those guys.
You that's still have hard. Chris Sale. You still have Eduardo Rodriguez. Nathan Eovaldi. I mean, it is what it is with that guy. Yeah. I mean, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage if you trade David Price.
Yeah.
But you cannot make up the production of 1 Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
You can't.
If they trade Mookie, will you secretly be like, fucking Jay?
No, I don't. I don't. Think
I know the answer.
Big
to
smile.
I know the answer to that.
There's someone smiling.
Yeah, I think.
I'm gonna say who?
They won't trade Mookie Betts, and I know that there's logic behind it by saying, you know, it's 1 year. The team is gonna have to pick up the tab for $28 million. You're gonna have to give up prospects and maybe a major league ready player. That's a lot to give up for 1 year of a guy that you're still gonna have to pay full price for, and then probably not even re-sign.
Yeah,
he's not gonna sign an extension. So you're going to have to take your chances in free agency just like everybody else. The reason why I don't think they're going to trade Mookie Betts is because Chaim Bloom can't come in here first year
and get hated right away
and have that be his first move. You can't do that.
Is that a similar trend that we see? Because look, Farhan Zaidi in San Francisco.
Yeah, he was like, I got to trade.
I've got to get rid of Bumgarner. Can't have a year one. Yeah. I don't know if I can do it year one.
But the Giants are the most loyal organization.
Didn't Carrington dump all the guys to the Dodgers?
Yeah, but everyone was like, get the fuck out of here. No one is saying that.
Yeah,
that's
not Mookie Betts.
Yeah, Mookie Betts. Like, that's why I think it's...
Those were bad signings. Mookie's a good player.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
By the way, Adrian Gonzalez got a bad rap in Boston. He was actually very good. They needed to include...
Yeah, but I mean,
Gonzalez.
I still hate the post game pressers. I still have a little bit of like an angry 14-year-old in me when people say that shit.
Yeah, you can't. First of all, rule number one: don't blame the schedule. Second, don't hide behind religion. You can't be like, God wanted us to lose that series.
You just don't.
No, he didn't.
No,
God's not watching baseball.
I might start working that in.
Yeah, no, he's definitely good. Not watching baseball. That's for
a good
damn
the
sure.
Schedule stuff was
religion,
so weak.
Like,
dude, you
can't
came to a big market.
Yes, and you chose to come there.
Yeah, that was a week. I haven't liked him since then.
Yeah,
I don't. That's like my one bugaboo. Like I don't really like hate any players, but when they like complain in the post game or just say like, "Well, guess God, what God didn't want me to do,"
wasn't
it's
God's
like,
plan,
dude.
I think he also he denounced the World Baseball Classic because of some. I forget like Team Mexico. There was some sort of
they didn't
of,
want
like,
him.
No, I think no, it was no, like there was some sort of like shenanigans finish in a game, and he was like, I'm never playing in the World Baseball Classic again. It's like, dude, you have the chance to represent your country. Like, shut the fuck up and play.
That's fine, yeah. But like, then no one really cares about
yeah. that. I don't think that we would have gotten along in the same clubhouse. I don't think we would have been.
The fact that that goes through your mind, if I was in this club, yeah.
would I be friends with those guys? I get that.
If we were teammates, I don't think we would have seen eye to eye.
I get that. Okay. What do you boys want to talk about? What's on your mind?
You think the moon landing was fake?
The moon landing?
Ooh. Yeah.
I think it's the one thing where I don't like conspiracy theories. Yeah. And it's the one where I'm like, I'm kind of interested in that. If someone like knew some like if I was talking like, you know, a crazy conspiracy theorist comes up to you and they're like, they dedicated their life, like aliens and shit. Mm-hmm. Anyone comes up to me, aliens, I'm like, dude, I don't fucking care. Like, you're crazy. Someone's like, I studied the moon landing and want to know what I know. I'd be like, yeah, I'm interested in this one.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
I guess.
You know why it gets me?
Why?
A fucking live stream. Barstool can't figure out their live streams every fucking weekend.
Shout out All Business Pete.
We don't do live streams.
Competent.
We don't do live streams that often because like the technology fails and I'm like, fuck this. And people are like, why aren't you doing it? I'm like, dude, it's hard. The moon landing in 1960 had a live stream.
Yeah.
From the moon.
Without the wires. Technology we have today.
Yeah. Yes. So I
talk about the damn 60s. I shouldn't have opened that up, man.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot. Trust me. I mean, I can see it from both sides. Because
I still hold back on my thoughts on all that because that's just like once I think I boil once I pull the top off that I become a
lunatic. Your personality matches your beard.
if you're a moon truther on Twitter, a lot of people get fired up about that.
Yeah, I won't say I don't think it was fake. I'm just thinking open to discussion. Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Got to ask questions. Not sure to ask questions.
Yeah, because I think someone said the amount of money that it would have cost to fake it would cost more than to just actually go. And then the amount of people that would have had to have known about it and kept quiet about it this whole time was like over like 100,000 people or something like that.
All right. I mean, oh, yeah, because what governments are afraid to just off people who know too much?
Here we go.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's a weird thing.
Point. Well, who do you think was
Bill,
the bigger?
Cut the camera.
Who do you think was the bigger? Who's the bigger patsy, Lee Harvey Oswald or Jack Ruby?
I mean, Lee Harvey Oswald was a patsy.
Yeah, but Jack Ruby's the bigger patsy.
Because
Jake, do you know who Jack Ruby is?
Guys.
There you go.
I thought we were
that's why he's
baseball,
the bigger passing. Not even remembered.
Did he play second?
Jack Ruby.
I actually.
Oh, no, Ruby Tuesdays?
MVP 05, the best baseball game ever
John
created,
Dowd?
PS2. We created a player called Jack Ruby. He was like fucking like 6'4", 275.
I think that's in bad taste.
I don't think so. Yeah, you could be a hero.
No, he's just a murderer. Like at the best case,
have you guys seen?
I
asked Jura this when I found out that he was into the conspiracy theories. Have you guys seen movie Zeitgeist?
Oh
No, I haven't. Sorry. You guys want to talk about it? We can take a break from our own show. You guys can just run.
We can adjust.
If you're religious, don't check it out.
Oh, I'm not.
Or maybe do.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Not even just religion based, but everything. Like you got questions. This is gonna probably. Yeah. Compile onto that. It's gonna.
I'm there.
It's a real eye opener.
Yeah,
weed gummy 1 a.m. kind of guy.
Yeah, you're gonna be like this. You're gonna walk down to the lobby and start looking at people in the eye, going, "You have no fucking clue.
Yeah,
you have no idea.
I do that anyway.
You have no idea.
Should have like a Zeitgeist watch along tonight.
Oh man,
Jordan gambling suspension is the other easiest conspiracy.
Oh, that's just 100% true.
Yeah. Why would that?
Well, I mean, is that really even a conspiracy? I think when you have quite a few, I mean, there's quite a few people that I feel like have confirmed that behind closed doors.
Well, he was good at baseball.
Yeah.
He's all right.
There's bad Jake.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And he's the best basketball player ever. That's the other detail for me that trips me up.
That Jordan was the best?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who's been best and worst interview you guys have gotten?
What was it? Ooh. Bob Montgomery?
That was the author?
No.
Player?
No. this is Jared.
Wasn't that?
Tewksbury.
Bob Tewksbury. Bob Tewksbury.
The author?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Why'd you guys say yes? We get so many people that write books. I don't even tell Jake. They email me like every day like, hey, we got this book. You want to talk to the author? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, this guy. Well, I mean, not this guy. I know who Bob Tewksbury. But. Jared was, you know, Jared's talking to him, kind of leading him into the interview. And we've been talking to him for like 4 minutes. It felt like not long at all. And he was just like, hey, so we're going to get into this book or what?
Yeah. Let's talk about the book. Enough about this. Let's talk about the book. And I was like, I didn't fucking read the book, dude.
Yeah.
Like, your people reached out to us.
And I could see Jared's face, and I was like, oh.
Yeah. So you just open up to page 75, and you read five pages, and then you just talk to them about those five pages.
Yeah, well, we didn't even have the book.
Yeah, we didn't have the book. We didn't send us the book. We didn't have anything.
It's even better. You know?
Yeah.
I'm the positive spin guy. Negative Nancy over here. What, each of your dream interview, we could do dead or alive shit.
Bonds.
I don't care.
Bonds. Yeah. Give me Bonds. Give me an hour with Bonds.
It's very easy.
And it wouldn't be enough.
You can get Bonds. Just pay him.
Yeah.
He has a rate?
Yeah, it's not a lot. I was in film school in San Francisco, and I was making this commercial for this company, and we were really close to having him come be the sponsor because maybe he gave up. This was back in 2016. He was really trying to change his image, so his agent was out there trying to get him anything, and it was like a fucking film school commercial for Benjamin. Shout out Benjamin. Go use it. And we were really close to having Barry Bonds come in and read the lines that I wrote, and I was going to film and direct and edit a Barry Bonds commercial, and I was very happy when it didn't. Like, they were like, yeah, we just missed and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know if he's still trying to do that. He may have given up because I haven't seen him out and about.
Yeah,
but his price was pretty low
for a long time.
Yeah. What would be your lead? Like, what?
Oh, I don't even know where I'd go with it. I would just go into it blind and see where it goes. But if you go to his Instagram page, you'll see that for 3 years now, I comment on every single one of his pictures and say, "You the man, Barry."
Appreciate that.
In all caps.
It's good. It's good.
What about you?
It would probably be George Herman Ruth.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah. You were the center of the baseball universe.
You know, he used to pee on his teammates' backs.
Of everything. Pee on my back. I don't care.
When they were showering, you know the shampoo trick? He would do that, but he would just stand behind him and piss on him.
Yeah, you're George Herman. I'm into it. Yeah. You can pee all over me.
There's some good stories. We have a history podcast. We've done two episodes now just on Babe Ruth, and it's like really good shit when you start reading books about him.
He's amazing.
Like, he's a relief pitcher for 5 years, walked up to him and was like, hey, Babe, I'm blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, good, welcome to the team. And
we've been on the team forever.
He was adopted by the Orioles owner to play or something.
Do you know that?
Like that.
Well, from out of St. Mary's
the orphanage.
St. Mary's orphanage.
Yeah, yeah. To sign him,
you have to become his dad.
Yeah, which trips me up because he is 19, and it's like, it was 15, and it's like, why is this 19-year-old still just in the orphanage?
Right.
Like, you know, we're in the middle of, like, child labor king.
Right,
you know?
And he's just kind of kicking it.
Yeah.
Like, do you think was he kicking the shit out of people, and people were just like, look, I don't.
Do you know this, Jared? He went from playing against his fellow orphans
to the big leagues.
Orioles.
To the big leagues, like that. He skipped the minor leagues, and then he was, like, the best pitcher ever at 19 years old. When he was 18, he was literally pitching to, like, 14-year-old orphans. The priest at the orphanage.
I know all this
shit. The priest at the orphanage, Father Bob, whatever the fuck his name was, just, like, messaged the owner of the Orioles. Was like, I got this kid you got to come check out. And the owner was like, let me see him. And he struck out some 14-year-old. She was, like, signed. They're like, well, you need to be his legal guardian. He's like, okay, he's my son now. They put him in the bigs, and he was the best ever. It's really good scouting, but it's fucking weird.
Yeah, on starting nine, we always ask our guests, like, the last question is, if you go back in time to witness any moment in baseball history, I guess I probably would want to see Babe Ruth, just because, like, I feel like any footage of him doesn't highlight what he was.
Well, there's that one of his swing, and his dick is just fucking huge.
Yeah, it's like, I want to see him play, and I want to see the competition that he was facing. Like, I want to see what that looks like.
Well, that's what makes it all relative.
Yeah, but, like, the footage, whatever footage exists of Babe Ruth isn't like, huh, yeah, no, I can see it.
This is why I get so pissed off when people do not pay the respect to Shohei Ohtani that he is deserved. I don't think people are truly understanding of what they are watching.
Yeah.
Like, if you could pick out, just give me one soul in Major League Baseball right now, not named Ohtani, that you would be okay with starting opening day and hitting in the three hole of your lineup 400 times a year. Give me one you can't game over. It's Shohei Ohtani.
Well,
that guy hasn't existed since Babe fucking Ruth. So
But.
No.
Dallas, that guy hasn't been allowed to exist in America. If Shohei was an American kid.
That's false. That's false. Brendan McKay in the Tampa Bay Rays.
But this is, that's what I'm saying. This is late. I'm saying from 1920 until 2018, it hasn't been allowed. I'm sure.
Could you hit in high school?
No, but I'm sure over that span of time, there were some American baseball players that made it to the bigs doing one thing that could have, but it was halted right away, and it took Japan to groom a guy and be like, yeah, we'll allow this.
I believe, well, so it took Japan, I don't know if it took Japan grooming a guy. It took, I think, Japan being okay with
what they
were seeing, because, again, American baseball, we've always, once you've gotten to that point, like, hold on, no, the money invested in you is such that we can't afford you getting drilled in the elbow while hitting. We can't have that. So you're just going to pitch, and frankly, you're not somebody that we could run out there 400 times and even be okay with like a 250. Like, you're not that guy.
This is something I get on a podium, not just because I'm short, but I truly believe, like, we've made these special athletes you've had to pick. And, like, speaking of non-special athletes, Trevor Plouffe, he was a stud pitcher in high school, and like they just said no, and I was like be honest, like, could you have pitched? And he's like, I could have come in and thrown innings, and like, that's where baseball's going. Like, we just talked about the field players pitching, like Trevor Plouffe, like, who knows how like differently things could be if he was third base utility. Oh yeah, and he could get you two innings to get out of a game.
Plouffe joins John Boy Media, now he's Babe Ruth and Ohtani.
You know, congrats, one name Trevor. That never gets mentioned in this conversation?
What, Bethancourt?
Brooks Kieschnick.
Bryce Harper.
What
do you want him to do?
He could pitch.
Twirl?
Nah, he couldn't.
Yes, he could.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the whole, like, can you get, because here's the thing, Sean Doolittle. Sean Doolittle is a prime example. The only reason he's not somebody's big league first baseman is because he was injury prone. He had knee injuries, wrist injuries, and that kept him from taking 400, 500 plate appearances.
And Ankiel didn't do it at the same time.
Right. And so there's guys that have the ability to do that, but to be able to show that you can do it consistently to a point where you can be relied on, where people that's the bottom line is talent talks, bullshit walks. And the talent has been such from Ohtani that you have been forced to go, yep, you'll take the ball every 5 days, and yep, you can hit third or fourth because you are that good, and there's no denying that. There's just no denying that. And you, like, come on, man. Like, think about, like, just seriously think about that. Think about Walker Buehler. Think about Walker Buehler hitting 300 for you, popping 30 with 80-plus stakes a year. Walker Buehler.
Yeah, put that's on right. some weight.
That's Andy. Right. Go Doors.
You know what I mean? Like, that guy exists. But he's
even
here.
Even, I'll bring it back to the Babe, because, damn, I'm good. Babe Ruth, I mean, the dude could pitch, but then they saw him hitting home runs, and they're like, no,
you're
good.
Theory is they saw him eating hot dogs, like, this dude's going to get too fat to pitch.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to get too fat to play right field and hit some bombs.
He's out hitting the league.
Do you know Babe Ruth ran like that because his dad ran like, or the father at the orphanage ran like that? It wasn't just like, you know, everyone ran weird back in the day.
Didn't the dude from the Rays that just got traded, can't he do both? Chenoweth, something like that? Did I make up that name?
Yes. Chenoweth? Yeah.
He was in the he was in the slapdick trade.
The slapdick trade.
Oh, is he the slapdick prospect?
No. Edward Sutton.
No. Not the one coming over.
Bethancourt was a guy with the Padres, and he has caught, played outfield, pitched, come in, pinch hit. Think about Lorenzen.
Michael Lorenzen.
Michael Lorenzen. I always say Jared Lorenzen. Yes. Michael Lorenzen.
R.I.P.
Yeah. Fucking outfielder. Come in and drop dick for you. Come in and blow cheese. Like,
but that's what I'm saying.
But not on an everyday.
And I don't want this to be a shot at Michael Lorenzen. But like,
no, not at all.
Like,
not at all.
He can doing throw. This again. He can hit. It's awesome. And like, again, maybe if he was nurtured through the minor leagues to do this, maybe he could be a special player. But like, we haven't done this. Like, I feel like he ended up hitting as like a last resort for the Reds. And like, his couple opportunities swinging the stick, shit happened. What if they didn't? Because I can speak on that pretty good because it didn't. And he's crying. Where's the wine?
And it works, man.
I don't know.
Yeah,
we probably have to.
You guys got anything else? It's been a while. I mean, yeah, we could literally.
Let's turn on that fucking, what was the movie you just said?
Zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist?
Yeah.
Bill.
That means the common.
Turn the camera off.
Zeitgeist is the common opinion of the people during that time period,
yeah,
Jake.
Dude, I know.
Yeah.
take that in. You're going to be questioning some serious shit.
Do you guys need to plug? Sorry, I mean, do you,
no, like, they don't. You?
No, they're, find they're us. Good. Download, subscribe.
Yeah,
starting 9.
Watch Dallas on NBC.
That's right.
Oh wow!
No, don't do it.
That's sweet. Nice,
big
man.
A's guy. Yeah, so
nice. Jared is big A's guy.
Damn.
Yeah, I watched. Yeah. That's what I do. That's my life.
Who's your guys' NL team?
Brewers.
Brewers.
Doesn't care. Hates the NL.
I'm currently shopping around.
He's a Pittsburgh Pirates guy.
Name the Marlins. Name the Marlins starting nine. We did this at the end of an episode with Jake because he's better at naming players than I because he plays outside out of the park baseball and fantasy stuff.
I got some geek roots.
Mm-hmm.
Jake got one.
No, I had
one.
Never mind.
But what?
Never
what,
mind.
Aguilar and VR don't.
Non-tender.
Yeah, well, that's what I was gonna. That's yeah. Those were the.
Brian
two.
Anderson. Brian Anderson can play baseball.
Say so they're getting.
Is Granderson still on that team, or is he? Oh, is he riding off in the sunset?
Oh, he's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Did he retire?
The impact.
Yeah.
Officially.
Yeah.
I think he did. Right?
Name an outfielder on the Marlins.
Has it been official?
I don't know.
Can you send out a notepad? I'm officially retiring. Thing tonight.
Me?
Yeah.
Did you officially retire yet?
Yeah, I've officially retired.
Did you do a notepad tweet, though?
Oh, no.
Phil Hughes, we asked him, have you officially retired? He's like, well, I haven't sent the notepad tweet.
That would
no.
That'd be really good.
No, all I did, I think I said, because like it came out, you know, after my last surgery or whatever, because I was close to coming back. I was actually like a week away from auditions from teams coming out, and my fucking shoulder fell off again.
Dallas, does it bother you that people, and by say people, I'm saying me, and then I'm projecting it at everyone else as if they have the same brain as me. And this is a Yankee fan. What I know you for is the perfect game, and then the A-Rod incident, and then your goatee. And I'm like, that guy is probably like a hard-ass, like red-ass angry guy, and you're the complete, utter opposite.
Well, that depends on the day.
But
when you see him.
Is that just me, or did you have a reputation if the A-Rod thing is being like a da-da-da-da-da guy?
Oh, no, like my, within the clubhouse, everybody, I mean.
Yeah, no, I know that, but like I'm saying, like public perception, like did that go too far for you where you're like, I don't want to be known for this?
Oh, no, I could give a shit less.
Okay.
Like it doesn't bother me at all. I don't care. Like I don't want to say, because I think at some point in time, everybody, you know, you take in, whether you want to or not, what's going on around you. But, I mean, the minute you start to let the outside noise affect you, like, you're just... Yeah.
You do you know you guys would be colleagues at a media company in
you
the future?
You don't stand a chance. No, we're not colleagues.
Well,
we're not colleagues.
Oh, okay.
We're not colleagues. Okay. I have no problem telling you this. If you were to ask him for an interview and you were to ask me for an interview, or if we were to have to come into a room together and interview, there's only one of us that comes in with a piece of paper with a list of questions and shit that we can't talk about, and it ain't me.
It's true.
Did you reach out?
I'm not interested at all in what the fuck you got to say.
Did you reach out to Mikolas?
Yes, I did, actually.
Did you? You're like, hey, man.
Love,
I feel you.
It's your love, man fraternity.
That is our fucking match.
Yeah. Love every minute. Love every minute. I mean, I loved him. I love all of it. I loved every.
You guys got to go eat lizards together now.
Yeah, I'm into it. I want a pair of boots.
Yeah. You're into some weird shit.
Yeah. I was gonna stop, but you can't say something like that. Weirdest thing you're into?
I don't know. I'm about to be a beekeeper.
What?
That counts.
Is that weird?
Do you watch bee videos on YouTube?
What do you want to know about bees?
No, that's a weird hole I went down. I went down like bee removal. Mm-hmm. It's so weird if you like do this weird jobs like drain removers and bee removers. If you're listening to us and you're a drain remover, like drain declogger or a beehive remover.
Carson Fulmer.
And you don't have a YouTube?
It's a bee guy?
No, Carson Fulmer. Remember had the, he was the plumber. He was a plumber in the offseason.
Yeah, Michael Fulmer.
Or Michael Fulmer, sorry, Michael. Carson.
I get into these
fucking
weird.
Terrible with the first.
Yeah. I get into these weird YouTube trips, and like I'm like, I just watched like a whole channel of like this guy going to houses and removing beehives. I'm like, oh shit, they're probably making more money from the YouTube video than they get paid to remove. And then I watched drain declogging videos from like government drain decloggers. I'm like, fuck, this is cool. And then I watched.
He gets lost in the baseball world, and then like I remember one day I got it. He's like, dude. You seen these drain declogging videos? And I was like, no.
So you're a secret closet ASMR guy.
No.
Don't lie. Yes.
ASMR? Yes, no. Yeah. My girlfriend listens to that, fall asleep. Sometimes she listens to like nail salon or something like that. I was like, this sucks.
What? Nail salon?
Or massage. It sounds like you're getting a massage.
Oh, you're
like,
so pretty.
How the hell do you listen to a massage?
Okay.
They sound like masturbating.
Okay. Well. And she just texted me and was like, hey, I hope the interview was going well. I was like, fuck.
Well, guess what we ran into.
Talking about falling asleep to your ASMR panty drawer recording. What?
Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna play it, and this will be the outro. This is a 39-minute video. This is an ad. Shut up, ad. Okay.
Oh, God.
All right. And then this is going to be the outro to the show. So say your last words while we listen to this, whatever the fuck this is. This is why I listen to this falling asleep a couple nights, because my girlfriend, like, falling asleep to ASMR. It's weird, huh?
Send the retirement note.
Super. Yeah.
I'm not in a position to bully anyone ever.
Stay tuned.
I think that would be the biggest news at winter meetings.
That was Braden retiring.
If you walked into the bar, I think there'd be like a standing ovation. Like,
hell of a career, Braden. You did it.
So proud.
You did it.
Bernie Williams didn't retire for like 10 years.
You got to keep your options open.
It's because he can fucking swing the stick, bro.
This is, you can't even hear anything.
Oh, God.
It's on. Let's all be really quiet.
This is.
You hear it? Shh.
Yeah, that's nail filing.
Yeah.
This is nail salon?
No, yeah, it's nail filing. It's hair salon.
Oh, hair salon?
Hair salon.
Oh, yeah. That's nail brushing.
Yeah. You wouldn't know. You don't brush your hair.
True. Okay.
Very true. All right. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys.
Much.
Thank you.
Appreciate no doubt.
It. All right. No outro music, guys. It's the fucking hair salon.
The hair salon.
That's where we always land.
On the hair salon.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No problem, man.
I don't know if you...